Have you ever thought about a city that's, well, not just a capital, but this global powerhouse of music, art, culture? And yet it also holds these incredible stories of pirates, devastating earthquakes, and just amazing resilience.
Yeah, it's quite a mix.
Well, welcome everyone to a deep dive into Kingston, Jamaica, the really vibrant heart of the island.
Today we're going to unpack two quite distinct perspectives. We've got a visitor's guide from GIST Jamaica, and then a pretty comprehensive encyclopedia entry from Wikipedia.
Right.
And our mission really is to go beyond that typical travel brochure stuff, pull out those fascinating nuggets of knowledge, and basically give you a shortcut to, truly understanding this dynamic city.
And that's exactly it. We want to cut through the noise, deliver those essential insights. We're going to explore what makes Kingston tick, from its really surprising history to its booming creative scene, and hopefully uncover details that will leave you well informed and maybe even spark your next aha moment about what makes a city a city. So let's dive in. So let's start with Kingston's core identity. I mean, it is the capital city of Jamaica, located there on the southeast coast. But what really stands out, and you mentioned this earlier, is its status as the largest English-speaking city south of the United States in the whole Western Hemisphere.
That's pretty significant, isn't
It
it?
absolutely is, and it's not just a trivia fact. It fundamentally shapes Kingston's regional influence, especially when you think about cultural exports like music. It gives it this unique position compared to its Latin American neighbors. You see this incredible global impact through its music, its sports, art, cuisine, where things like music and fashion actually hold, well, almost as much sway as politics and business. It's fascinating.
It sounds like a city with a really powerful voice, but it also has a rather dramatic origin story, doesn't it? Before Kingston, there was Port Royal.
Indeed, Port Royal. It was once this infamous pirate stronghold, sure, but also a really bustling Caribbean port, a major center.
But then came the catastrophic 1692 earthquake. And I mean, catastrophic, just try to imagine. Much of Port Royal was literally swallowed by the sea. Four out of five major forts destroyed, over 30 acres of land just submerged beneath the bay's waters. It wasn't just a geographic shift, it was a complete societal reset. It forced an entirely new urban identity to emerge from, well, from chaos.
Wait, so Kingston wasn't just founded after the earthquake. It was literally built as a refuge. That completely reframes its origin story for me.
Absolutely. Kingston was founded on July 22, 1692, just shortly after that devastation, specifically to house the earthquake
Just
survivors.
for them.
Initially, it was just a makeshift tented camp, very basic. It wasn't until Port Royal suffered another blow, a fire in 1703, that Kingston really started to grow properly. And they were quite deliberate about it. Surveyor John Gough drew up this grid plan for the new town, designed specifically to facilitate commerce with these really wide thoroughfares, 66 feet across.
And that strategic planning, it clearly paid off then.
It certainly seems so. By 1716, Kingston was already the largest town and the main trade center for the whole of Jamaica. Now, the debate about moving the government offices from Spanish Town to Kingston, that went on for a while, but it officially happened in 1872. That really solidified Kingston's place as the island's administrative center.
But the city's challenges didn't just stop there, did they? Kingston has truly faced its share of adversity beyond that initial earthquake. There was a large fire in 1882, and then the devastating 1907 Kingston earthquake. Now, that particular quake, it led to a visible, lasting change in the city's architecture, didn't it?
That's exactly right. The 1907 earthquake, it killed around 800 people and destroyed nearly all the historic buildings south of Parade. It was massive.
Gosh.
And this directly led to a really significant change in urban planning. A new 60-foot height restriction on buildings in the city center,
Oh, interesting.
which meant they generally had to be three stories high and, crucially, built with reinforced concrete. So, yes, an earthquake literally dictated the future skyline of the city, a very direct, visible consequence of its turbulent past.
It's incredible how resilient the city has been. As we move into the 20th century, how did Kingston continue to adapt? I mean, the story doesn't end there.
No, not at all. If you dig deeper, Kingston's history is really one of constant reinvention. The 1930s, for instance, saw island-wide riots that ultimately led to the development of trade unions and political parties.
Okay.
Then the University of the West Indies Mona campus was established there in 1948. Big step. And in the 1960s, you had reggae starting to get international attention, and that coincided with a massive waterfront expansion project.
Right, timing.
Exactly. And Kingston even hosted the Commonwealth Games in 1966.
However, the sources describe the 1980s as turbulent and volatile. What exactly was going on during that period?
Yeah, that decade marked a really significant shift. A democratic socialist government was voted out, which led to the strong pivot towards tourism and strengthening relations with the U.S. It was a period of major economic and ideological realignment for the island.
I see.
And then the 1990s and 2000s saw, unfortunately, an increase in crime and unrest. There were army patrols in 1999, and then the 2010 Kingston unrest, which got international attention, linked to security operations like the Tivoli Gardens incursion. So yeah, a city truly shaped by its trials.
And yet from those trials, this incredibly vibrant culture emerged that would just captivate the world. Let's talk about Kingston's undeniable cultural heartbeat, maybe starting with that UNESCO designation.
It's truly remarkable, isn't it? Kingston was designated a UNESCO Creative City of Music in 2015. Mm-hmm. And that highlights its massive global impact.
All right.
But it's so much more than just reggae, dancehall, and ska. You know, the city is just buzzing with recording studios, active artists. And its creativity really extends into dance, theater, visual arts, too. It's across the board.
That deep connection to music is so clear when you look at the city's landmarks. The Bob Marley Museum immediately springs to mind.
Oh, absolutely. The Bob Marley Museum, it offers this really immersive experience into Marley's life and legacy. It's actually in his former home and recording studio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can see platinum records, personal items. You can explore the studio, even his bedroom. It's pretty essential for anyone interested in reggae or music history.
Definitely.
And for an even fuller picture, his Trenchtown home is just about a 20-minute drive away, too.
It sounds like an incredibly personal journey through his life. Beyond the museums, though, where else does Kingston's daily life sort of celebrate its musical heritage?
Well, it's not just Marley. There's the Peter Tosh Museum as well, dedicated to another reggae pioneer and founding member of the Wailers. It showcases his music, but also his activism, his commitment to social justice.
Right. Tosh was very political.
Very. And Kingston's artistic spirit, it's really far-reaching. It goes way beyond music. You've got the National Dance Theater Company, founded back in 1962. They showcase Jamaica's culture through these dynamic performances, blending traditional Caribbean rhythms with modern dance. Mm. And similarly, the National Gallery, it's the largest public art museum in the English-speaking Caribbean. It houses a permanent collection, but also hosts all sorts of exhibits, performances, films featuring both established and emerging Jamaican artists.
So it's not just confined to galleries. It sounds like the city itself becomes a canvas. Tell me more about that Paint the City project. How does that integrate into the sort of urban fabric?
That's a great way to put it. The Downtown Kingston Art District is this ongoing creative initiative by a group called Kingston Creative. Their Paint the City mural project has added, I think it's 59 new murals now.
Yeah.
And if you happen to be there on the last Sunday of the month, you can join the Art Walk. It guides visitors through downtown, exploring history, architecture, craft markets, street food. It's a full sensory experience that literally brings art onto the streets.
And circling back to its origins for a second, Port Royal still exists, doesn't it? Not just as a historical footnote, but as a living site.
Precisely. Port Royal, with its underwater remnants, which are fascinating, and the surviving historical buildings like Fort Charles, that's the only fort still standing.
Right.
It's actually a UNESCO World Heritage Site candidate. Visitors can take day trips there, explore museum exhibits with artifacts recovered from the sea, tour Fort Charles. It's a really tangible link to that pirate past. You really feel like you're stepping back into history.
And for a different kind of historical vibe, a touch of colonial elegance, you can visit Devon House too, right? That beautiful mansion with all the period furnishings.
Absolutely. Devon House is another key historical landmark, a real step back in time, as you say.
Now, looking at Kingston today, it's clearly the heartbeat of Jamaica, especially economically. How does it function as the island's sort of central engine?
Kingston is undoubtedly Jamaica's economic powerhouse. Most of the island's economic activity happens right there in the city. All the main government ministries are located there, and the high population density just drives monetary transactions.
Makes sense.
It's also the island's main transportation hub and its largest seaport. Critical infrastructure. Plus, many multinational conglomerates and financial institutions have their headquarters in Kingston. There's even ongoing talk about making Jamaica an international financial center, with Kingston at its core.
Despite that strength, though, I know Kingston has also faced its share of economic challenges, like many cities. How is the city looking toward its future economic development? What are the plans?
Well, Kingston's major industries currently include tourism, apparel manufacturing, and shipping. Key exports are things like bauxite, sugar, and coffee.
Right, the classic Jamaican exports.
Exactly. But despite, you know, recent economic troubles, there are ongoing redevelopment plans for the downtown area. These include efforts to attract more manufacturing and also call centers. It's a city constantly working to reinvent its economic future, always looking for new avenues for growth and diversification.
What always strikes me when thinking about a city as dynamic as Kingston is the sheer diversity of its people. Can you give us a sense of that rich tapestry?
Oh, absolutely. The majority of Kingston's population is of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
But there are really significant minority ethnic groups, too,
mm.
like East Indians and Chinese Jamaicans who play important roles, especially in retail down in downtown Kingston.
Okay.
You also find a minority of Europeans, you know, German and British descent mainly. And then Syrians and Lebanese are particularly influential minorities. They've even produced a prime minister, Edward Philip George Seega.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then multiracial Jamaicans actually form the second largest group after those of solely African descent. And there's a small but long-established Jewish population as well.
So it's a truly cosmopolitan mix. The figures actually break it down.
Right.
About 79.2% Black, 12.8% multiracial, 5.2% Asian, and 3.4% white.
Right. Those are the stats. And in terms of religion, does that same diversity hold true?
It really does. You find a wide variety of Christian churches, mostly Protestant, but there's also a strong Roman Catholic community. They have the Holy Trinity Cathedral and quite a few schools.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Afro-Christian syncretic religions like Rastafari have a significant presence and global recognition.
Can't talk about Kingston without Rastafari.
Exactly. And then there's also that Jewish population with the Sher Shalom Synagogue, plus communities of Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims. It's incredibly diverse religiously.
It really is.
So for anyone listening who's thinking about experiencing this vibrant city, what are the options for staying, eating, enjoying the nightlife?
Kingston offers really diverse lodging. You know, whether you're a business traveler needing a modern hotel like the Courtly near government offices, or maybe you're visiting family and prefer a rental property with a kitchenette, there are loads of choices.
Okay.
And for luxury seekers, there are boutique hotels, elegant resorts, some with amazing rooftop pools and cabanas. Really something for everyone.
And the food scene, I hear it's pretty amazing.
Oh, the dining scene is incredibly vibrant. It's this lively mix of global tastes and local specialties. Everything from food trucks serving up jerk chicken to really upscale restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
The Jamaica Food and Drink Festival is a big highlight if you can time it right. You can find incredible steaks at the steakhouse, on the veranda, at Devon House, or more international options at the grog shop there.
Devon House again?
It's a hub. And for something unique, you can follow the Blue Mountain Culinary Trail, get those mountain views, meals made with super local ingredients, and of course, that incredibly smooth Blue Mountain coffee.
Ah, yes, the coffee.
Can't forget the coffee. And along the waterfront, you've got popular spots like Ribiz and Gloria's Seafood, or you can get oceanfront dining at the Grand Port Royal Hotel. Lots of choice.
And after dinner, I get the impression Kingston truly comes alive.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
When the sun goes down, Kingston, I'd argue, has the best nightlife on the island. You've got popular live music spots, street parties, fashionable clubs. People are dancing till dawn.
Sounds energetic.
Definitely. You can catch great shows at places like Ribiz Ocean Lounge, lots of reggae and dancehall performers. Or if you prefer something a bit more underground, you could try and find a dub session or enjoy soca rhythms at a local fete.
So whether you want to dance all night or just find a cool spot with some incredible local music.
Kingston delivers, yeah. You can almost hear those reggae beats just thinking about it.
Huh, yeah. Now, beyond the urban pulse, Kingston also offers some really incredible natural escapes, which might surprise some people.
That's right. Just outside the lively streets, you've got the Blue Mountains soaring up. They provide this amazing, peaceful retreat.
What can you do up there?
Well, you can trek through foggy summits in these dense rainforests, spot vibrant hummingbirds, rare flowers, find hidden waterfalls and coffee farms.
Sounds beautiful.
It really is. Or for a gentler experience, you could opt for a guided bike tour. Along the mountain paths, you get these sweeping views of the Caribbean Sea. Stunning.
And one surprising thing is that even though it's a capital city, you mentioned beaches are just a short drive away, that juxtaposition must be quite appealing.
It really is. It offers this unique appeal, combining city life with easy coastal relaxation. Lime Cay, for example. It's a sort of hidden treasure off Port Royal. Ideal for snorkeling, boat trips. It has soft sand, really tranquil waters.
Nice.
Then there's Helsher Beach, famous for swimming, but also for having some of the best seafood on the island, served right there on the shore. Mm. Very casual, very fresh.
Mm, beachside seafood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for the surfers listening, Bull Bay is a preferred spot. It's got reliable waves, a really relaxed surf culture, and there are surf schools and rental shops for beginners too.
The city itself also has several urban green spaces, right? Which often get used for events and festivals.
Yeah, quite a few important ones. Think Emancipation Park, Hope Gardens, Devon House again, National Heroes Park, St. William Grant Park, Mandela Park.
Emancipation Park itself has an interesting story. It was gifted by the LaGuania Club, and it's well known for that rather prominent 11-foot bronze sculpture by Laura Facey.
Ah, yes, Redemption Song.
That's the one. Depicting naked figures symbolizing triumph over slavery. It apparently caused quite a bit of public outcry when it was unveiled back in 2003 because of the nudity.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It sparked some debate, but it remains a really significant marker in the city, a powerful piece.
And Hope Botanical Gardens and Zoo, that's another major attraction.
Huge. It's the largest botanical garden in the English-speaking Caribbean. Sprawls over 2,000 acres, with about 60 acres of more formal gardens.
Wow, 2,000 acres.
Yeah, it's massive. It actually started out as a plant introduction and crop testing facility way back. It got the royal designation after Queen Elizabeth II visited.
Yeah.
And it features everything from a coconut museum, which sounds intriguing, to an orchid house, a lily pond, even a maze, and a beautiful Palm Avenue, plus the adjoining zoo.
So how do you actually get around in this dynamic city? You mentioned Kingston is a major transport hub.
It is. St. William Grant Park, right in downtown Kingston, is actually the starting point for three of Jamaica's four main A roads, the major arteries.
Right.
And a big development was Highway 2000, which significantly cut down travel time mm-hmm. between Kingston and Monago Bay. Used to be maybe 4 hours. Now it's closer to 2.5. Big difference.
Definitely helps. What about public transport?
This city has a pretty modern bus system run by the Jamaica Urban Transit Company, or right. JUTC. Plus, you've got the ubiquitous minibuses and taxis, of course.
Right.
Historically, it's interesting. The city had mule cars back in 1898. Then electric trams ran until 1948, before various bus services evolved over time.
And for flying in or out.
You've got Norman Manley International Airport for international flights and Tinson Penn Aerodrome, which handles more domestic services. And by sea, historically, Kingston's waterfront was the main port for Jamaica, but now containerization traffic mostly goes through Newport West.
And staying connected. Phones, internet.
Pretty straightforward. The main providers are FLW and Digicel. They offer all the usual mobile and broadband services, GSM, LTE, etc. There's also a newer operator called Carousel, so you should have decent connectivity across the city.
Good to know. And it sounds like Kingston is quite a sports powerhouse, too, maybe more than some people realize for a capital city.
It really is, especially in cricket and football. Cricket, including major international test matches, is played at the famous Sabina Park.
Ah, Sabina Park, legendary.
Absolutely. And the capital is home to 5 national Premier League football teams. So lots of local rivalry and passion there.
And didn't a very famous sprinter come from Kingston?
You're thinking of Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce? Yes, the Olympic champion sprinter was born and raised right there in the suburb of Waterhouse, a huge source of national pride.
Amazing talent. So pulling it all together, beyond all this, Kingston as the capital, it really is the financial, cultural, economic, and industrial center of Jamaica, isn't it?
Without a doubt. It boasts the largest number of hospitals, schools, universities, and cultural attractions on the entire island.
And it even has a significant international role, too.
Yeah, this is quite interesting. A United Nations agency, the International Seabed Authority, is actually headquartered right there in Kingston.
Really?
Yeah. It's quite a testament to Jamaica's diplomatic influence and its role in global maritime law. It gives Kingston this surprising international governance footprint.
That is surprising.
And it really shows its global reach, which is also reflected in its twin towns and sister cities. You know, links to places like Miami-Dade County in the U.S. highlight its strong ties there, while having a sister city in China, like Shenzhen, points towards its sort of emerging global economic ambitions.
So, reflecting on everything we've discussed, what does this all mean? We've really peeled back these incredible layers of Kingston, a city that, I mean, literally rose from the ashes of disaster.
Yeah.
Evolved from this, you know, humble-ish trade hub to become a massive cultural beacon. And it just continues to influence the world through its music and its incredibly vibrant spirit.
We've definitely navigated its complex history, explored that diverse cultural landscape, and hopefully helped understand its economic engine a bit better, giving you, the listener, a uniquely informed perspective on this really resilient city.
So what does this all mean for you listening? Maybe consider this. How has Kingston, a city that has faced just numerous seismic shifts, both literally geological and societal, how has it continually reinvented itself while managing to hold on to its unique identity? Mm-hmm. What can its journey teach us about resilience, about adaptation, and maybe about the enduring power of culture in shaping a city's destiny? Something to think about.